You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Hello everyone and welcome back. We're taking a look at Game 6 between the Bucks and the Raptors on this edition after the Warriors swept the Trailblazers. They've already booked another spot in the NBA Finals. Now we're just waiting to see who will join them from the Eastern Conference, and the Raptors now with a 3-2 lead in the series. The series heads back to Toronto as well as they look to book a place in the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. Stephen Back joins me once more from the William Hill trading floor. How are you, Stephen?
Very well.
What did you make of Game 5?
I was shocked. Well, it was an entertaining game to watch just because there were so many runs going back and forth, but I was shocked how the Bucks just couldn't get it done at the end of the game. I mean, there were some interesting calls. I mean, they literally, as they said they would do, they just formed a wall around Giannis and just made it extremely hard for him to get a basket. I mean, he hit a clutch three late to tie the game up, and then Kawhi just took over the game, and it looks like he sort of got over that little niggle in his calf that was dogging him in games 3 and 4 in Toronto. So it's hard to see the Bucks managing to win 2 games in a row against this Raptor side that look the business right now. I mean, they're finally getting some production out the bench, which is what was plaguing them against the 76ers. It was just a one-man wrecking crew, whereas they look more like a team now, which is dangerous to think for the Bucks. And we might have a decent finals then if they can play like this for another series.
Yeah, definitely so. The Raptors consigning the Bucks to their third defeat on the spin, which is the first time this has happened either in the regular season or, of course, the postseason this year. So that's something that hasn't been achieved all year by anybody else, and something that the Bucks have managed to avoid throughout the course of the year. Interesting you mentioned bench scoring there, which I think has been, I think you've landed on one of the real keys in how the Raptors have managed to turn this series around. But it's been interesting because they've not really been using the full bench. It's not been a full rotation. They've been relying on Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell almost exclusively. They've been using like half a bench, really, the Raptors, which is strange that it's just been 8 guys, really, that have been on the floor play by play.
Well, to be honest with you, they're the ones that I think it's got to the point now they're the only ones that Nick Nurse can trust. I mean, he's not had OG Anunoby the entire series, the Englishman. In fact, he's not had him really all playoffs, to the point where I think he's cut his rotation down to the guys he can trust. I mean, in Game 4, I mean, I wrote about this for you guys, was that those three, so the combined of Powell, Baca, and Fred VanVleet, combined for 48 points to outscore the entire Bucks bench, and the Bucks bench has been very productive this postseason. I think it was something like 48-19. In the end in Game 4, and that was the difference between them in the game then. And I mean, Norman Powell's been playing out of his mind this series. I mean, I was sat there watching it. I'm saying to myself, this guy's earning himself a contract when it comes up for him being a free agent or his contract gets extended, because he's really become that spark plug off the bench. Backer's we're seeing what more accustomed of him, more like the Oklahoma City days when he was Serge Ibaka, and it was just ridiculous. That really has been the difference in the series, how they've managed to get the production off the bench so that they're not been solely relying. I mean, Kyle Lowry's finally come to the party. I mean, he only scored over 20 points or more once in the first 2 series, and he's averaging 20 points a game this series. And he's really stepped up his production, playing like the all-star that he is. Gasol's finally emerged, hitting key buckets when he needs to, playing good defense when he needs to. And then just the rest of the guys. Danny Green hasn't been much of a factor for the Raptors, but they haven't really needed him, to be honest. Other than in playing defense, the rest of the team's just done the business for them. So it's not just been a one-man, like I said, a one-man team, which is what it has been throughout. Well, against the Magic, it wasn't really needed because they were just far inferior. But against the 76ers, it was just a one-man effort that dragged them through the series. Whereas now it's a case of you've got the two superstars from each team. They're both playing like superstars. Admittedly, Giannis is struggling against the Raptors' defense, but it's the fact that the rest of the team is playing better around them now, and it's the rest of the other guys for the Raptors have played better for the majority of the series than the other guys for the Bucks, which is why they now have the 3-1 lead, really.
Yeah, absolutely. With the exception of, I suppose, George Hill's had a nice series off the bench for the Bucks, but he's the only name that really springs to mind off their bench who I think has been dependable all series.
The only other one I'd say for the Bucks is Pat Connaughton.
He's been a great spark plug for them.
He hasn't always... He's had a couple of games where he's chipped in about around 15 to 20 points, but the scoring hasn't always been there, but he's been there making the key effort plays. But like you say, I mean, Ersan Ilyasova off the Bucks bench hasn't been doing much. Brogdon's played well, but he's been coming back from injury. Yeah. They obviously inserted it back into the starting lineup last night in place of Nikola Mirotic. But it's going to be hard unless they do get a monumental effort out of their reserves. I mean, Eric Bledsoe, he played all right in the first sort of like quarter and a half last night. He finally sort of came out of a slump, but then he reverted back to form in the fourth quarter and he had a very poor game towards the end. So unless the other guys, Chris Middleton needs to have a big game. I mean, like in game four between Middleton and Giannis, they had 55 of the 90-some points it was. So they just haven't been getting production outside of the two All-Stars consistently all series.
In terms of Game 6 then, obviously back in Toronto, with a chance to wrap up the series on home court. They haven't been beaten on home court, of course, by the Bucks in this series. The Bucks are 6-5, the Raptors are 5-7, a 2.5-point spread here, -2.5 for the Raptors, 10-11, +2.5 the Bucks is 10-11, and the point spread here is set at 212.5, 10-11, each of two, under and over. I think the Raptors will get it done in six.
See, all series, I wanted the Bucks to win, and I backed the Bucks personally to win, thinking that they've just looked the business, and they think, oh, it's not in smart. I mean, a 2.5-point spread, that's doable. I mean, game four, I had them to win. Game five, I thought they could have come back, but that obviously didn't happen. I thought they were going to win last night, because the thing was, obviously, the home team had won the first four games, and the home team had covered the spread in the first four games, so I thought, oh, that's going to hold form.
Yes.
Didn't happen last night. So, if it's going to hold form now, then I think 2.5 points is more than doable for the Raptors. But to be honest with you, even 5-7 is a tasty money line price. It's not too short. So if you want to have a go on both, I think you're well within reason to take the Raptors and for them to cover the spread as well.
Started so well as well last night for the Bucks. I think we're 18-4 up early on in the game. And the Raptors just edged their way back into it throughout the course of the contest. But it was such a hot start for the Bucks, and home teams have had their way in this series. It was a monumental performance, really, given the way the Bucks started.
The Bucks just went ice cold on offense. I think we were at one stage in the second quarter, they'd scored, I think, after 8 minutes, 2 points or something stupid like that. They just couldn't score. They scored, I think we were talking about it in the office last night when we were watching the game. They'd scored, I think it was 15 points in the first 3 minutes, and they scored about 15 points in the next 20 minutes. They just couldn't maintain that offensive burst. As a result, they just allowed the Raptors to get back in, slowly chip away at the lead. Whether that was key Raptors defense or just the Bucks just not making shots, to be honest. I mean, the stat that I saw this morning in this postseason is Giannis's production against certain defenders.
Right.
So how many points you scoring per 100 possessions against any defender, against the two main defenders he's faced against the Raptors. So against Pascal Siakam, he's averaging about 33 points per 100 possessions. Against Kawhi, it's about 16 points per 100 possessions.
Is that right?
So he's just locking him up because, let's be honest, he's one of the best defenders in the world. He's got long arms, he's got those massive hands, he can control you where he wants you to go. And he's playing like the Defensive Player of the Year that he is capable of doing. I think he was named to All-Defense Second Team this year, I think.
Which, by the way, would give the All-Defensive First Team a run for their money. You see how strong that second team is. Arguably, if you had to choose between the two teams, who you'd want on the court, who you'd want to bet on, that second team is strong.
Yeah, there was even some of the names like PJ Tucker didn't even get on the second team, and it was they had a very, and Pat Beverley as well was another one that they were arguing was a key snub. But honestly, if you had a 5-on-5 with them, it wouldn't be a very high scoring game.
No,
although I fancy the second team, like you say, the second team to win out in a game like that, because there's some great defenders on that team.
Yeah, massively so. Just from a pure Pistons perspective as well, I think Andre Drummond was robbed.
I don't. Other than rebounding and block shots, I think there was some warranted names on the list. Anyway, it was Rudy Gobert made the first team, and then it was Joel Embiid for the second team. And arguably, it was a pick between them because the defensive impact that Embiid has for the 76ers was massive. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs how big his impact was. He was, and the time he was off the court, I think it was the 90 minutes he missed that the 76ers were down minus 100 or something stupid like that. It was absolutely ridiculous the impact he has. I mean, Draymond Green, second team. So you got two Defensive Player of the Years on the second team. In Green and Leonard. I think they've won it the last few years. Gobert was in the first team. Giannis made the first team as well. Another great defender. Paul George, Marcus Smart, Eric Bledsoe. So you have two Bucks in the first NBA All-First Team defense. So some great players on that list. It really is.
Yeah, it just shows the depth in the league right now with the first two all-defensive teams looking incredibly strong. Let's now down some final bets then for Game 6 in this Bucks-Raptors game. With the Raptors to win and cover?
I'd probably say so, yeah. Just based on the way they looked and how poor the Bucks' sort of supporting cast has been. I mean, Bledsoe can't buy a basket to save his life at the minute, really, other than that one little spurt. They're not getting much production out of Mirotić. Out of Lopez, other than that great game one performance, he's struggled again the rest of the series. So, I think the Raptors to cover and take the money line as well, to be honest, just to hedge your bets, just in case.
A quick reminder of the championship winner market as well. Golden State Warriors 1-3. They're obviously resting up ahead of the finals in a week or so's time. The Raptors 7-2 and the Bucks are 13-2. If, let's assume that the Raptors get through to the NBA finals, of course, there's still a chance for the Bucks. They need to win the final couple of games to do so. We're hearing that Kevin Durant is going to miss at least the first part of the NBA Finals, first couple of games maybe, which is obviously a hindrance to the Warriors. But as we discussed on the podcast last week, the rest of the guys just find a way to step up all the time. Has there been anything from the Raptors over the last week or so that's made you feel less confidence about the Warriors winning the chip again?
To be honest, no. To be brutally honest, no. We had this conversation saying, would you take the Warriors to win it with or without KD? And we'd take them to win it with or without him. He'd probably be back towards the back end of the series, depending on how long it goes. But to be honest with you, I mean, we watched, to think they were down by 17 points in games 2, 3, and 4 against the Blazers and swept them. I mean, how often do you see a team? Also, they trailed more in that series than they led, and they still swept the series. They're a dominant team, and to be honest with you, personally inside, I'd rather see KD not return for the finals, just because I enjoy watching. It's like watching the Warriors back in 2015 when they won 73 games when Steph Curry was unanimous MVP. Yes. It's more of a fun team to watch. It's not that throw the ball into KD and you can just get a shot over anyone because he's 7 foot tall and he's just the best offensive player in the world. There's more ball movement, there's more enjoyment, they look a lot happier to watch. You get to see Klay Thompson create more. Because, I mean, let's be honest with you, I think everybody has forgotten how good a player Klay Thompson is, because all he has to do is just run around screens, catch and shoot, take a layup and finish. He never has to create anymore. Whereas now he's asked to do so much more, and you can see he's got that full repertoire, which we haven't seen really for 3 years since KD came to the Warriors.
Yeah, it's a great point. We'll be back, of course, to preview the NBA Finals in a week or so's time, but it's looking as though the Raptors will be joining the Warriors, perhaps, in the final. The Raptors are 5-7 for game number 6, which is coming up in the early hours of Sunday morning. Stephen, thank you for that as ever, and when we're back, we'll be talking NBA Finals.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.